I hadn't thought about Mayred Flannery in quite some time. I met her at a Washington party for some political mucky-mucks and lobbyists shortly after I joined the FBI. Forget how I got invited to this gathering. Friend of a classmate, probably. I was clearly punching out of my weight class. I'd graduated from Georgetown the summer before. The FBI came recruiting, and lacking any other prospects, I decided to give it a whirl. Looking back, it seems like a particularly cavalier reason for joining the world's preeminent crime-fighting force, but I was particularly callow then, sailing through school as a pampered athlete. The party was held at the posh Georgetown row house of a wealthy political donor, and I immediately knew I was out of place. I was wearing my best off-the-rack Cy Sims special while most of the men were decked out in Armani dinner jackets or full-fledged tuxedos, some complete with tails. Even the help had the better of me sartorially. I'd been invited to another party that was more my speed in Alexandria, so I figured I'd spend an hour or so with the high rollers and retreat to some place more suitable for a heathen like me. But the holiday decorations were incredible. I'd never seen so many lights. Champagne flowed, glasses tinkled, the open bar was stocked with whatever toxin struck your fancy. There were probably 100 guests mingling gaily, back when that word meant festive. Well, Mayred was decked out festively as well, a low-cut red gown, displaying her abundant gifts abundantly. She and I were the youngest in the room. Her wavy red hair was worn loose, and her green eyes sparkled brighter than all the holiday lights put together. I was 22. She was a few months shy of that, I learned later. She caught my eye the minute I entered, and she noticed that I noticed, flashing me a shy smile. I immediately began revising my plans for the evening. She was in the company of a heavyset man, in his 50s probably. He was formally attired, a man of some importance. A group of fawning sycophants surrounded him. He had a large nose pocked with the broken veins of a big drinker, dead eyes, thin, pale lips, a gray mustache framing his humorless mouth. After a moment, I recognized him, the august senator from the great state of Alabama. Although, having been there once, I could tell you there wasn't anything great about it. I circled Mayred, noting from the rear she was just as impressive as she was head-on. I kept an eye on her every move as I visited the bar and asked for a scotch. I'd never had single malt before. Well, after my first sip, I told the barkeep I was in love. He thought I meant the whiskey, but I was thinking about the girl. He said I shouldn't get too used to it. This was 21-year-old Glenfiddich. The expense of a bottle would consume an entire week's pay for a working man. Well, after two scotches, the room was spinning. I'd lost track of Mayred. I needed to splash some water on my face in an attempt to sober up so as not to make a dithering fool of myself if I did work up the courage to approach her. One of the waiters pointed me toward a powder room, but in my inebriated state, I took a wrong turn and wound up in the kitchen. I heard an anguished female voice coming from the butler's pantry. The least an apprentice G-man could do would be to investigate, so I slid open the pocket door, and there was Mayred and the senator, his hands roaming over her body as she tried to wriggle free. She blushed at the sight of me and rushed off. The senator scowled, mumbled something about this not being what it seemed, and stuck his bulbous snout in the air and started off. I stepped in front of him. I asked if the girl had accosted him. I was a federal agent. Should I arrest her for assaulting a U.S. senator? He smirked, reached for his billfold. He pulled out a $50 bill and tucked it into my jacket pocket. Hush money. Well, I rushed outside and found Mayred trying to hail a cab. It was snowing lightly and her mascara was running. She sniffled once, took my arm, and off we went. We wound up going to my other party, and we had a great time. We spent that night, and many others, at my tiny apartment in the district. She told me she was a student at American University, a poli-sci major. We liked the same music, cheered for the same team, shared the same political views, and, oh, by the way, she was the most beautiful woman I'd ever seen. In a word, she was perfect. I was in love, deeply, truly, with my green-eyed, wild Irish lass. She never explained her presence at that Georgetown Christmas party as the guest of a married senator from the Southern Tier. I never asked. We were together for a glorious 6 weeks before I discovered the real reason. Valentine's Day was coming. I was starting to think about an engagement ring. Before popping the question, my FBI training kicked in. It took just a few calls and a little digging on a slow afternoon at work to discover the truth. She was a hooker. That's what I called her when I confronted her. Today, I'd use a more charitable term, a high-priced escort, a classy lady of the evening, an exclusive call girl. But in any case, I ran away from her as fast as I could. I didn't even try to sympathize with why she did what she did. She said she was working her way through school, had no family money, so she used her most obvious asset to get ahead. One thing led to another, and she was not only paying her tuition, but making contacts in the political world. Senator Alabama was a one-off, just an escort. She never saw him again. Well, no matter how much she pleaded with me, I couldn't wrap my mind around being in love with a prostitute. As a law enforcement officer, I almost considered it my duty to arrest, or at least report her as a security risk. As I thought it through, I realized how foolish that would be. Federal charges for sleeping with married politicians? J. Edgar would have laughed. Well, maybe not. I was heartbroken. So was she. I refused to take her calls, so she wrote me a long letter, declaring her love for me and saying she'd give it all up if we could have a life together. My cold heart would have none of it. I even worried that if my association with her ever came to light, I'd be drummed out of the bureau dishonorably. Selfish, stupid. That was Riley King at 22. But now, 30 years later, here I was, at a Christmas tree farm, watching Mayred's exact double from afar, racking my brain for the right thing to say.